I hereby call to order the public hearing of the Common Council Committee on Administration, Finance, and Law. The time is 7:24 p.m. Mr. Clerk, will you please read the roll?
Alderman Smedley.
Present.
Alderman Naples.
Here.
Alderwoman Black. Alderman Carlozzi.
Here.
Alderman Davis. Alderman Giantonio. Alderman Salvio. Here. Also seated, we have Alderman Pabon. We have four here. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. Would you please read into record the notice of public hearing?
The Committee on Administration, Finance, and Law will hold a public hearing on July 6, 2016 at 7 p.m. in Council Chambers, City Hall, 27 West Main Street, New Britain, Connecticut, for the following. Resolution 33517, proposed amendment to the Code of Ordinances, Section 2-21A and 2-22A, regarding the commencing of regular meetings of the Common Council and public participation sessions. And Resolution 33538, proposed amendment to the rules of the Civil Service Commission. At this hearing, interested persons may be heard and written communications may be received. Copies of said items are available for public inspection during normal business hours in the office of the town and city clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. Sounds like you practiced. Having been properly noticed, I will begin the public hearing. The first item is resolution number 33517, proposed amendment to the Code of Ordinances, section 221A and 222A, regarding the commencing of regular meetings of the Common Council and public participation sessions. If there's anyone here to speak, please step forward. Anyone here to speak for item number 33517? Third and final time, anyone here to speak for item 33517? Anyone here to speak against item 33517? Second time, anyone here to speak against 33517? Third and final time, anyone here to speak against item number 33517? Anyone here to speak for number two, resolution number 33538? Please step forward. Name and address for the record, please.
Tony Kane, 110 Brook Street, New Britain. Okay. When I was appointed to the commission back in 2013, I was told that it was quiet and all they did was approve exam lists. No. In fact, I've been told by somebody that we are probably the most active city civil service commission in the history of the city civil commissions. We have investigated four complaints in the last 2 years regarding the hiring process for four different positions. The biggest profile one involved whether or not a member of the council used her position to influence the hiring process. My fellow commissioners and myself listened to testimony from a lot of witnesses and reviewed enough evidence to kill at least a couple trees during all our investigations. All investigations were done in a nonpartisan way and have all been concluded. One of the conclusions we reached during our investigation was the city's hiring practices were way out of date. What might have been cutting edge years ago was no longer best practice in the 21st century. And we've taken upon ourselves this year as a goal to review the entire merit rules. So over the next couple of years to the rest of the finish of our term, we're going to be introducing revisions coming up to you. The first revisions we're going to propose is to the hiring process. The recommendations for we are proposing for adoption are: currently under the rules, notices for open positions and examinations can only be placed in newspapers in general daily circulation in the New Britain area. And as you're aware, newspaper readership as a whole has been declining, and an ad could cost the city thousands without reaping any benefit. And as someone who's been in the job market, a common place to seek employment is no longer the want ads, but the job opportunity section of an employer's website or on their Facebook page. We are recommending that notices must be required to also appear on the city's website and any social media available at the time of the opening. Next change. Too often people apply for positions and never hear the results of their application. Under our proposals, the personnel director will have to notify someone of their rejection at any stage in the process and explain why they were rejected. Under current rules, a stenographer had to be hired at city expense, or a recording device had to be used during all interviews. While the device was cheaper, this required us to have to go through many tapes to find out what was needed, or the city would have to pay to hire somebody to record the notes. Under our proposal, we recommend that a standardized set of questions be used for any interviews, and detailed notes be taken during the interview process. These notes then have to be kept on file with the personnel director. Under the current rules, anyone who passed an exam was just told that they passed or not. They were not told the order they passed the exam, what ranking they received. During our investigation, one candidate actually came forward and said if she knew that she had ranked first place in the testing, she wouldn't have withdrawn from the position application. On our proposal, within 2 weeks of any commission approving any exam results, the personnel director shall notify in writing the ranking that that person received. Under the current process, department heads have set up their own interviews and talked to the candidates ahead of time. This led to some questions about what was actually said or not said in informal conversations. Under our proposal, the department head shall be given the approved exam list, decide who they bring in for an interview, then notify the personnel department of who they want to interview, and the personnel department itself will set up the interviews and schedule it through a written notice, preferably by email or scheduling software if the city has the funds for it. All documentation for the interview setup will be retained by the personnel department. Most companies our size use these practices already. So we're actually recommending that a brand come into the 21st century. There's two options for merit rule change. We could either implement as policy at the commission level or put it into, by council vote, have put into merit rules. We have at the commission level did put it as policy, but however, we want to have as put in merit rule changes to give it a little more weight. I'll take any questions you guys have about any of the changes.
This is the public hearing, so we can't entertain any questions at this point. Thank you.
All right.
Anyone else to speak for item number 33538? Third and final time, anyone to speak for item 33538? Is there anyone here to speak against item number 2, resolution 33538? Anyone here to speak against resolution 33538? Third and final time, anyone here to speak against item 33538? Seeing none, I will close this public hearing. The time now is 7:31, and we'll move directly into the regular meeting of the Common Council Committee Committee on Administration, Finance, and Law. There is no change in attendance. We still do have a quorum. And at this point, I will entertain a motion. The first item on the agenda will be 33517, proposed amendment to the Code of Ordinances 2-21A and 2-22A regarding commencing of regular meetings of the Common Council and public participation sessions. May I have a motion? Alderman Naples.
Mr. Chair, I move to send resolution 33517 to the full council with a favorable recommendation.
Second.
Thank you, Alderman Naples. The motion is by Alderman Naples with a favorable recommendation, seconded by Alderman Salvio. Any discussion?
I think this is going to save a lot of time. It's awkward when we're waiting because the published time is 7:30, and some people say, well, what about when they talk for 2 hours? Well, we're already covered for that. We just start after it. But the time will be saved. The meeting's at 7. We can start at 7:05 and nobody's here.
I would agree with you, Alderman, and I would also add to that it may encourage the public who spoke during public participation or those here to stay for the duration of the meeting as well.
Yeah, which they never do because they won't wait.
Any further discussion on the item? Alderman Carlozzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand the purpose behind this, but I'm going to throw a wrinkle into this. Who did the hump? Was that you, Alderman?
Mr. I said Chairman? Sure. Go right.
Oh, okay.
Please, you have the floor, sir.
So, currently, under our system, public participation is called for by either the mayor pro tem or the majority leader of the council, and it's not part of the common council meeting. The mayor then calls to order the common council meeting either at 7:30 or upon when we finish public participation. This is now stating that all stated regular meetings of the common council shall commence at 7 p.m. It also goes on to state there shall be public participation sessions held at the beginning of each special and regular common council meeting commencing at the posted start time of a special meeting and 7 p.m. for a regular meeting. Well, what you've just done by doing that, you now state that the Common Council meeting will start at 7. We're going to hold public participation right at the very beginning. And what this now requires is that the mayor is here during the public participation session as well, because she's the only, or the mayor is the one that calls to order the Common Council meeting. I think this is an unintended consequence, but this is what you're doing right now. I did share my opinion. I don't know if I shared it with our majority leader, but I do know I shared it with the mayor's office. And the response I got was, well, that's not what we intended to do. And I said, but that's what you're doing with this language.
The language says the presiding officer shall call 3 times. It doesn't say who the presiding officer is. But I can understand where you're coming from.
Well, yeah, because you state very clearly that the public participation session shall be held at the beginning of each, basically, each regular or special Common Council meeting, and the mayor is one that calls those to order.
Would it be better if we said it immediately prior to the
Then you're into where we are right now.
Time. What?
Then you're back to where we are
no,
right
no.
now.
No, no, immediately prior. The posted time is there, so the only thing it would interrupt, the meeting would get delayed by the length of the public participation. And then the other wording fits.
So, Mr. Chairman, through you to our legal.
Please.
It's not the intent that the mayor certainly may enjoin the council during the public participation, but it's not the intent that the mayor is here during public participation, which could last an hour and a half, or what have you.
Is she here during special meetings when you have public participation?
No. The mayor is never here until there is public participation, unless they happen to want to come in and sit behind, one of the tables and listen, but they're never at the podium.
They don't preside.
Requires her in this language to be here.
Because the public participation now starts at the beginning of the council meeting.
Okay.
And the mayor is when it calls the council meeting to order.
But can't she turn that over to someone else to?
I don't think the charter.
No one's ever opened a meeting other than the mayor?
Mayor opens the meetings.
How about the special meetings? Who's that opened by?
The mayor calls the meeting.
Doesn't Alderman Salerno sometimes open the special meeting?
No.
Okay.
So I don't know how this is revised.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Alderman Gentonio is not here tonight, and I don't know whether the mayor's office contacted him about what a fix would be, and whether you. I don't know how you fix that, because, do you say that public participation starts at 7, and that Common Council meetings start at 7:05?
No. They start immediately after.
Yeah, that's what the wording has to be, because otherwise you got to decide, are you going to do...
Those
are valid points. We're going to do the place of the flag, we're going to do everything ahead of time. No. If we state it so they're held not at the beginning of each special and regular, prior to the... immediately prior at the posted time...
So I do, gentlemen.
That's what we intend to do.
If you'll allow me, I do believe the original language prior to Corporation Council seeing it was that the meeting would commence immediately following public participation. However, that was flagged because we need to publish a physical hard time for both public participation and
the start of the meeting.
You could say that public participation will commence at the published time. For the start of the council meeting, and the official council meeting will start immediately following public participation.
Again, what the chair just said is that Corporation Council. So maybe this is in response to my interaction with the mayor's office. Maybe I think that maybe that was a solution, and Corporation Council said you have to state in your notice when the council meeting will start.
So I may make a suggestion through a question to Corporation Council. Could the language be changed so that public participation starts at 7 p.m. and the Common Council meeting starts at 7:05 p.m.
That's what I just offered.
I believe it could.
That's what I just offered.
I apologize.
Yeah, or at the end, whatever is.
No, you have to.
It has to be specific. Because
you don't say it's going to start at 7:05 if public participation is going to last 2 hours.
Yeah, but Alderman, that's what we do now. Public participation starts at 6:30 or 7, whatever it is, and sometimes continues on for 3 hours. So that delays the start time of the meeting.
But you just said it was going to the council was going to start at 7:05.
But because, right now it says it's going to start at 7, and that's
and sometimes we don't end until 8 o'clock with public participation.
Yeah. No, here's, I'm sorry, this is really quite a free-for-all. Mr. Chairman, I think right now, to answer Alderman Naples' question, our current structure is that public participation starts at 7, and that's stated at 7.
Right.
Council meeting starts at 7:30. That's the published time. What we found ourselves into many times is that there's two speakers, 7:10, we're done. And we must wait that 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, quite frankly, that 20 minutes sometimes is good for people because there may be some last-minute things with the agenda and different things or different questions, and so people go into the back or what have you. I don't think that's really hurt us, but I think the intent of the leadership currently is that to allow, if there's nothing to preclude us from starting, we want to be able to start right away, and the mayor comes in and we proceed. So if you publish the time at 7:05, but you're actually calling to order at 7:15, you're within your publication notice.
Mm-hmm.
You've met the requirement of the publication notice. Counselor, am I correct?
You have to state a time.
Yeah. So 7:05, if you start at 7:10, no problem. Well, you just can't start it.
As long as the published time is before the actual start.
As it currently is, you're saying it starts at 7, but you're having public participation starting at 7, so the meeting is not actually going to start at 7.
No, yes, it does. Under this.
Oh, so you're starting the meeting
at this participation. In section 2-22A, there shall be public participation sessions held at the beginning of each special and regular council meeting, commencing at the special meeting time or 7 p.m. for a regular meeting. This is very specific that the council meeting starts at 7. The only person that calls a council meeting to order is the mayor. Public participation then starts. Now the mayor is out, but now the mayor calls the meeting to order. The mayor is here for public participation. That was not the intent.
Alderman Giantonio, pardon me, Alderman Carlozzi, would you be okay if the change were to be as stated, I believe you are, that public participation would start at 7, followed by the regular meeting at 7:05 p.m.?
I am perfectly fine with that.
Okay.
And that's what I brought, but we need to clear the language, so I'm hoping that...
Yeah, or you could even make it 7:10 if you wanted to.
7:05, and that meets posting requirements, publication and all of that. So there shall be public participation sessions held prior to, and just get rid of the words, at the beginning. I think just to say there shall be public participation sessions held. Hold on. This is more complicated, folks.
Yes, it is, because it has special meetings.
Because it has special meetings, and we don't start those. We don't do those at 7. Sometimes we do those at 6:30.
And 6:45.
Well, that's bonding that we do at
6:45. Yeah.
But sometimes we may have a special meeting.
It doesn't say the time. It says the posted start time of a special meeting, because those all change.
Correct.
That's why this language was drafted the way it was.
Yeah.
But and I think we're required to put it.
Why can't you leave it at the beginning?
You can just say, and 7:05 for a regular meeting.
But how about the special meeting?
Then you can take out the thing, because the original wording fits. Held prior to each special regular meeting. Just scratch the change at the beginning of. In other words, leave
so
that.
So there shall be public participation sessions held prior to each special meeting
so
and
the
regular.
The only change we're making is we're changing 7:00 p.m. to 7:05.
Well, here you're not going to be able to use the word prior because it's crossed out.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're gonna make a change in that.
Oh, okay.
So I would need an amendment, but hold on, we're still discussing. There shall be public participation sessions held prior to each special and regular Common Council meeting commencing at the posted start time of a special meeting, and what we're going to change to 7:05 for a regular meeting, period.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to take out at the beginning?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're going to leave.
Mary, does that work?
We're going to leave prior to in
I'm
it.
Sorry.
We're not going to make the change at the beginning
of it. Could you repeat that?
Yes. So section 2-22A will read, there shall be public participation sessions held prior to each special and regular common council meeting commencing at the posted start time of a special meeting and 7:05 p.m. for a regular meeting, period.
Yeah. So the only change we're making...
Well, so when we have a special meeting, public participation will be 6...
Well, why wouldn't you say...
No, because we don't. Special meetings sometimes start at 6 o'clock.
Special meetings start at whatever time it is.
No, but... Okay, I'm thinking through this.
Those don't happen at 7:05.
But the council meeting... This ordinance, if I may for a second, everyone, this ordinance does not state what time we have to start public participation. It's whatever time that is published in the paper that we start public participation. So I just want to keep that in mind. I think that might be what's confusing some of us,
right?
At least me. So we don't have to state in this resolution what time public participation will start. We just state that it's going to happen prior to the start of the meeting.
And it's always
published. All know that we normally publish public participation at 7 p.m.
Right.
So you want to say 7:05 for a regular meeting?
For a regular meeting.
So then you've got to change...
the A, 2-21A as well.
To
7:05.
The only thing we're changing in there, other than the Common Council capitalized, is just 7:00 is changed to 7:05.
Right.
Yeah, and we're not going to do the at the beginning.
The other's canceled.
And then you're changing 222A to 7:05 as well.
Yes.
So the notice would go out, public participation at 7, and regular meeting 7:05. And then whenever we have a special meeting, those meeting times will also be posted, but there would be a 5-minute difference between public participation and the special time.
Well,
special
Jessica's
meeting.
Saying the way it happens now is it just
There's
happens
no problem
before
with the special meeting.
Yeah, right. Special meetings just roll right in.
You just because do it before
do
the
it.
Start of the meeting.
That's right.
You don't really post. You just say public participation. Mr. Chair. So if the special meeting's at 7, you have public participation first, and then you go into the special meeting.
Alderman Naples?
I retract my original motion.
Thank you.
I submit a motion
I
to...
I retract the second.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Your motion's fine. I just made an amendment to your motion. That's all.
Well, then we'd have to vote on the amendment.
You're voting on the amendment. Well, then we go back to the motion as amended. Yeah. You don't have to retract anything.
We'll vote on the amendment.
Yeah.
Motion is still there.
Thank you. So I'll entertain an amendment to make the change in 2-21A to 7:05.
So made.
Thank
so
you.
Moved.
And delete the other.
Delete at the beginning, add back prior to, and change 7:05 and 2-22A. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Okay, and now we'll return to the original motion as amended.
Vote on the amendment.
Oh, I apologize. All those in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Amendment passes. Thank you. Now we'll return to the original motion as amended. Any further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of Resolution 33517 as amended once, the favorable recommendation back to the full council. All those in favor say
aye.
Thank
aye.
You. Motion passes. Is everybody all set with the language for that before I move on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is Resolution 33538. Do I have a motion?
Chair, I make a motion to send Resolution 33538 back to the full council with a favorable recommendation.
Second.
The motion is with a favorable recommendation by Alderman Salvio, seconded by Alderman Naples, back to the council with a favorable recommendation. Any discussion on the item? Alderman Carlozzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through you to either the chair or to the personnel director. I'm not sure which one wants to. I have a series of questions.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Alderman.
Thank you for coming, Mr. Chairman. How are you tonight?
Good, are you?
Good. I'm going to take you through the changes. There are some things that I've highlighted. Some of them are really just perfunctory questions, like questioning some of the changes. Let me go to the very... So let me just start at B, the announcement.
Okay.
I just want to understand the original language... was that the announcements, posting announcements in such places as the personnel director deems advisable, including and or advertising positions to be filled by open competitive examinations in newspapers and general circulation in the Britain area, comma, or whatever that was before. So correct. You've struck the commission put in including but not limited to, struck out the words and or advertising positions to be filled by open competitive examination in, then went on to put newspapers in general circulation area, the city's website, and or social media.
Correct. We wanted to make sure it was open to all positions, not just open competitive ones.
So that was one question. So, okay. So you want to put all positions, not just open competitive.
Correct.
Are we clear in that now that we struck out open competitive? Should we put in language? Should we put in language all positions? Does that also include? I'm going to ask a lot of questions tonight. You might get upset at me by the end of the night. Does that also include appointments made by the mayor for the mayor's staff?
I think that's covered by
different sections in the staff.
Or the mayor's staff is not covered by the mayor's rules as far as the selection of the mayor's staff.
So what positions, I'm going to ask maybe Karen if you can come up. Can you give me an idea of what positions are in City Hall that are not open competitive exams?
Staff, that's pretty much,
I don't think the tax collector.
Well, the elected positions are not certainly open competitive.
Department heads are open competitive, right?
Department heads are open competitive, yes.
Okay. Registrar staff, for example.
Registrar staff is a non-competitive. They get to pick their own, same as the mayor's staff.
Non-clerk.
Well, that's an elected position. So yeah. All elected positions, they don't get to pick. Town clerk staff is unionized. Tax collector staff is unionized, and they go through open competitive. Registrars does not go through open competitive, and the mayor's staff does not go through open competitive. We have things such as classified and unclassified position, unclassified positions, which is what that position should have been, but wasn't in the original hiring of.
And some of the department heads too, correct?
Yeah, Ken Malinowski's position this last time was not, well, actually has never been open competitive.
I think you made my argument then. If we're going to eliminate the words open competitive examinations and your intention is all positions in City Hall, then that's going to include the registrar's office. Because you're saying the registrar picks and chooses their staff of who they want?
Yes.
Does not. But
I believe there's something.
But they're unionized positions, though, are they not?
No, those are not unionized positions. They're non-union positions, but they're 1186-like positions, just like for.
So are they covered? Are they given the same benefits as 1186?
They're given health benefits the same.
Okay. So if your intent is to open it to all positions, then. To me, that means across the board, and that means the mayor's office as well. And I don't know if that's what the intent is.
I'd have to look, honestly, at the full set of the civil service rules, which I did not bring down with me, because I believe that specifies which positions, what the rules cover.
Because to me, it's going to be all or nothing. I mean, if you're going to get rid of the words open competitive, and you're going to say all positions, then to me, that's going to mean all positions. And I don't know that that's the sidewalk we want to go walking down.
Well, it's never been that way. I mean,
I understand that, Councilor.
The mayor has not only set it the staff, but they've set the salary for that staff.
You're correct. You're correct, Alderman. That's my argument against this change. And that's why I asked, and the chairman mentioned that they wanted to include all positions. And I'm saying, okay, if that's what your intent is, do you intend, then the mayor's office is going to fall
in. No, there's nothing wrong with that statement. All positions in City Hall except for the ones that they mentioned. The mayor's staff is not a city position.
Well, let me ask the HR director. Is the mayor's staff a city position? Are they given city benefits?
They are given city benefits, yes, but they are given, again, 1186 benefits.
Okay. Equivalent benefits.
Equivalent benefits, yes. They are not given.
So is it the intent of the Civil Service Commission that the registrar's office in the future, if there's a retirement there or something, that the hiring of those positions in the future would be coming under your domain and under these merit rules?
We don't discuss that specifically.
No, we discuss department heads. We want department heads covered under it. There's a good point. Registrars do hire their own staff to pass. There could be nothing preventing them from going through the process, but their attention was more for their department heads that were not classified under competitive examinations. We wanted to make sure those were included. So it's a side benefit or side wrinkle, as you said before. Now the mayor's office and registrar, our attention was to have department heads, a mayor or somebody just picking anybody. We want to make sure they went through a competitive examination process just like everybody else did.
But department heads already go through an open competitive
exam.
Not all
department heads. There are some department heads that are unclassified, correct, Karen?
At the moment, there is director of municipal development is not classified and is unclassified. And as certain members of 818, which our department heads are largely in, as they retire, their replacements are going to be non-union.
Mm-hmm.
They will still go through a competitive process, but it will be non-union. Non-union employees. I could go up and get the civil service rules and double check that.
I'm going to go on because I have some other questions. So we're going to do general circulation, and so the words general circulation in the New Britain area is still going to stay the same. We're not changing those words, and then we're going to add city's website and their social media.
Right.
Now,
or
when it says
just limited to just newspapers.
Right. Exactly. But when we say the personnel director deems advisable. Is it also possible that the personnel director can deem that the only place that they need to advertise is the city website and they don't need to advertise in newspapers anymore?
No,
because we're giving that person, in my eyes, we're giving that person the authority down the road.
She already had the authority before, but now by putting the including but not limited to, she will be required, her and her successor will be required now to make sure it's on the website. She always, if you wanted, it was her choice before and her predecessor's choice before to use whatever mediums were available. But they were only required to do newspapers. And if they wanted to put a billboard up and said we have an opening, they could have done that. But now, under the rules, she could choose whatever medium she wants to use, but she has to use the city's website and/or social media. She has to include those. That's
okay.
Why.
I still have some questions about that, but okay. But let's move.
Pardon me for one second, Alderman. Can you just let me know what page you're on so we can follow?
I'm sorry. There's no page number. I read paragraph B. That was paragraph
okay.
B. I'm sorry, Mr.
That's okay.
Chair. Yeah, it's actually the first page.
Okay.
Copy?
I have it on the iPad. Thank you.
Yeah, he's reading it from the device. Okay. So number C, shall review all applications for compliance with the minimum qualifications. If the applicant meets the qualifications, he or she would be qualified. That's fine. I'm questioning the whole thing. I'm thinking of, police and fire. You have 200 people who apply for a job.
Mm-hmm.
There's a list. We're opening a list. There's 10 names. We're gonna fill 10 positions. You have 200 applications.
Mm-hmm.
Only a certain number of people actually get qualified and fall on the list. Are we now saying that the HR staff is going to send a written correspondence to everybody who did not qualify,
mm-hmm.
and with the reason why they did not qualify? And who's going to take on that task, and how long is that going to take?
That's the intent of the commission.
The reason we put that in there is because there are some people who apply multiple times for the testing already, and each time their qualifications still have not changed, they still apply and get rejected. This way, if they know why they're getting rejected, they have the opportunity, if there's a say for a certification that's required or something that they're required to have in their background that they didn't realize they didn't have, they may want to go out and get that qualification. At least now, they can be able to tell notices are sent out now anyway saying they didn't qualify. At least now they've been told why they didn't qualify. So give them the opportunity so if they want to apply again, they can improve themselves.
I think in some cases we're putting a big burden on the staff to get these notifications out. Quite frankly, in the world today in which we live, people fill out applications for things. They don't get called. They don't make it through the first run. People don't send out letters like, thank you for your application. You didn't make it. And this is the reason why you didn't make it. It's just if we're going to go forward with you, we're going to contact you. You'll be contacted, kind of thing. So I don't know. I can just see a list now of 200. What's the most ever applied for police or fire openings?
Most I've seen is 908, of which
pass it and you go to the written test, if you get less than 70 on the written test, you fail. To this point, I have been able to send, because we use a group called policeapp.com or firefighterapp.com, where I can click on selected names and say, I'm sorry, you did, and the email would only go to that person, but I could send a mass email that says, dear so-and-so, unfortunately you're getting no further consideration because you didn't get the 70 passing grade.
Thank you. If I may very quickly, this is an important part of the hiring process for the police and fire departments being involved. I know that not having been notified made me search with other departments in the meantime, where it could have been a month or two before I was notified that I, you know, hypothetically wasn't qualified anymore for the position. So using the services that are available, I think the Human Resources Department can do that efficiently for the larger tests.
Okay. Does that meet the requirement, I guess, is what I would ask, of your...
That would.
Okay. So we changed the word from shall be mailed to shall be provided.
Right.
So that means you can use that website, or you can use these other
email. You can do phone call as long as it's documented that a phone call was made. As long as the commission wants a written record showing that person was contacted and told they were no longer under consideration.
I think that's a noble gesture, but I don't know. I'm anxious to hear a year from now or something after a big, you know, a number of applications come through, how you and Tricia, the two of you, are able to meet this requirement. So I hope...
We make our noble bet.
They just told you a couple of ways they're doing it without mailing it. So that, I like that change.
Let me go on notice that I've made my concerns about, yeah, you know, about the amount of work that we're putting on the staff.
You propose a change that might be useful. The word.
No, the word is provided with a statement of reason. Okay, let me move on.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Alderman.
I don't know how much time Mr. Carlozzi has, but these are questions I think that can be asked at some other time, like prior to this meeting. I just don't want to sit here and go through a list of questions that Alderman Carlozzi has.
Oh.
And I want to get the hell out of here.
Oh, Alderman, with all due respect, I understand your position, but the alderperson is entitled to ask questions to the department heads who showed up for the meeting. So,
and there's only about three more changes.
Exactly. Thank you. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Alderman Salvio. I appreciate your concern for brevity and wanting to get us out. But I
Alderman Carlozzi, please continue with your questions.
Thank you. Under Section 7, examinations, where the changes, I understand the stenographer thing. Thank you. The standardized written list of questions. Do you honestly think that you can go up with a standard list of questions that will apply to every applicant, no matter what position?
Well, it goes with the position. For example, somebody's applying for a fire captain position, there'll be a set of questions for fire captain. Somebody's applying for a foreman, there's a set of questions for foreman.
So there'll be a different list of questions.
Correct.
Depending on the position. Thank you.
Yes, it's not generic. It's specific to each position.
And three. Three of the four complaints we received last year during the hiring process that we had to investigate were within one department. And the accusation was that department head gave a different question to each person. That's why we want to make sure it's the same questions for each.
That wasn't clear to me, and I was going to ask, how do you ask a question to Secretary 2 and also ask the same, how are you developing the same questions for a fireman?
And then you got to keep them on file. That way, if there's any question later on and the person wants to say, I was asked a different question, everybody was asked the same question, you could show, and the answers are right there with their gaze.
I was interviewing this morning. We were interviewing revenue collection aides. I had a separate list of questions for them, followed by revenue specialists, which is a different position. We had a specific set of questions for them. Some of them were the same, but some of them were specific.
Thank you. Alderman Carlozzi, next question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the next one, under F, I understand they have no problem with the two-week certification. But, Mr. Chairman, you made a comment that in the future they will also be under, they will also know their standing.
Correct.
And that's not new language. That's always been in this paragraph.
In the past, it had not been the application.
It's not new language in here, sir. It says with his or her relative standing. So that's something that should have been done all this time.
Correct.
You are correct in all
the... Thank you. I picked up on that, and I just wanted to... And then, I guess the last thing under J and K, again, I'm going back to, under K, for specific, I'm going back to the personnel director will also provide written notification to the applicants who were not selected. Again, I don't understand that process, because if you got the job, you got the job. If you didn't, you didn't hear from us, it means you didn't get the job, but we're good. I think... and written notification could also be an email, or it could be these other sites that
and
you
most
use.
Most time it will be by email. Yeah, we want that written record.
So going up to J, you know, in K there is a proviso with the exception of the council positions. The council positions does not need to be approved by the mayor's office.
Correct.
That is a hiring that we do. But in J, I don't know if we need to put some additional language in there again with the exception of the council position. I don't know if that needs to be done or not, because this J says that once the appointment list is certified, the list will be forwarded to the mayor. So even though in K we say for other than council position, in J we say that the list will be forwarded to the mayor. And quite frankly,
language could be put in there that for the council positions, the department heads will be. I think the rules say specify exactly who the department head would be the mayor pro tem.
Well, actually, there's three. There's the mayor pro tem, the majority leader, and the minority leader.
So we could clarify then that for the council positions, department head would be, and then list the names, list the positions, and then they would make it.
Yeah, I think under J, there should be a sentence at the end. This paragraph does not apply to the position of council, for council position, which is covered under, it's covered under the charter on how that position is hired.
Correct, it is.
Yeah.
And the main point of that was that, again, written notice and documentation of the interview process, we wanted that in there. That was the whole point of that.
That's fine. I don't want J to conflict with K.
Correct. That was an oversight on our part. We didn't realize that the council was not included in J. So
I would like to make an amendment to J that this paragraph does not apply to a council position which is governed by charter at this time. Well, yeah, no, okay, so that's another question. Can I make an amendment?
I have to grab the merit rules. I have to take a look at it.
They can just accept or reject
right.
The presented to them.
Correct.
Okay.
And I need to, if you want a definite answer, I have to grab the merit rules. I'm sorry, I should have brought them with me.
Well, if we can't make an amendment, then that answers my question.
I do remember that being a stipulation when it was emailed to us.
So you don't have the merit rules there?
No.
All right, I'm going to have to grab them.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thanks.
I'll entertain a small recess until Corporation Council returns. We'll take a 5-minute recess.
coming.
Hold on. Never mind, we'll still be in recess. I apologize. We'll return to the regular meeting at 8:13 p.m. Corporation Council.
All right, so under the merit rules, it provides amendments may be proposed by the personnel director or the Civil Service Commission. The commission, after a public hearing, shall submit them to the Common Council for approval. And then it just says, upon approval of any amendment to these rules by the Common Council, the personnel director shall promptly transmit such amendments to the appointing authority. So I seem to recall this the last time that there were changes to the proposed changes to the merit rules, and I believe at that time the council was also told by me that they couldn't make changes, they could only accept or reject. Given the fact that I think I need some additional time, so what I would recommend is that you guys, if Carlo, if you want to make changes, you...
Well, I don't want to hold this up. Okay, I don't want to hold this up.
You do it at the council level, maybe, until I have more information. But I have a feeling, because I remember this last time, and I remember basically saying it's either approval or rejection, and that's why
the last time
it didn't go anywhere, because the council members weren't happy with that.
Well, I'm not happy with that. I think we need to make some modifications, and I'm asking a lot of my questions. Alderman Salvio wants me to hurry up. But I just don't want an issue down the road mm-hmm. where J has certain language and K is somewhat a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think J and K sort of need to have some similar language.
Mr. Chairman,
or an exception.
If I may, if the committee is willing to accept what we presented, I can promise that on the next meeting we will put on the agenda to revise the J. You can bring it up to the whole process again, because we are going to be bringing other ones for you. We just want to get the hiring process once started. That was the most serious. So as long as the person in the current council position promises that she won't leave in a couple months, We'll get that up to you as soon as possible to help the process along.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I've known you a very long time, so I will accept you with that commitment to address my concern, because I think it's a conflict. Mm-hmm. I think the two of them could have a battle down the road at some point, and I just don't want to see that happen. I try to look forward into how
I agree, and I agree. And that was an oversight on our part. It was our intention. We wanted to keep the executive branch and legislative branch employees separate, and I can't believe we missed that one part.
Yeah, so, if you could address that little concern there, too, I would appreciate,
Thank you.
That we have some clarity there, because there could be a battle down the road over something, and somebody will say, oh, well, this applies to all positions, including you, the mayor's office, including you, and I think that needs to be clear, because that certainly the mayor is entitled, wherever it is, to have their own staff. I mean, it's their own cabinet. I think, as positions for department heads open up down the road, they will not be in union positions. There will be a different hiring process. Again, the mayor should have the final authority in who they're going to hire, because it's a member of their cabinet. That's
Alderman,
the way I see it. So,
Alderman, if I may go to Corporation Council.
Yeah, so I understand that you're willing to change that, but the question is, how is that going to happen? Because
if we pass it out, no. I'm not going to make a motion to table.
Well, because then it's got to be changed before next Wednesday when it goes to the council.
No, if the council accepts this.
Oh, I see what you're saying. If
we pass this on to the council.
Okay.
The chairman has made the chairman understands my concerns,
mm-hmm.
and I think he also somewhat agrees. Maybe.
Yeah, I agree that J and K are in conflict, and we're going to at our next meeting that we have.
That we will that you'll put it on, and they'll take
next
some time.
Scheduled meeting, yes.
So. I will. I've known the chairman for a long time. I accept him at what he says he's going to do. If he fails to do it, then shame on them.
So it's going to go to the council next week,
right?
And they're going to approve these changes,
right? And then
you're saying then
the
Civil Service Commission is going to make a change to that particular section and send it back to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what they wish to do, or they'll just they don't have to send it back.
Okay.
Am I correct?
I mean, I just want to make sure that we're all.
But Mr. Chairman, through you and the counselor,
yes.
they can make the change unilaterally to J and K so that you're not going to change K.
Right.
You're going to change J to conform with K.
Yeah.
But they don't even need to bring it back to us. Am I correct?
No, it has to. Any changes has to come
to
the council.
Then it has to come back to us.
I mean, we're not going to meet before you guys meet, but at our next scheduled meeting is going to be on the agenda. That'll be on the revised. Jay, we'll send it back up to you guys.
Appreciate that. Mr. Chairman, I'm. Thank you. Thank you for your. So even if it's a couple of months out. I mean, listen, if you want to do it for the fall.
As long as that position doesn't become vacant, and that's all I'm asking. As long as that position doesn't become vacant.
Position's not vacant.
Yeah.
Position okay. is.
Thank you. Thank you, Alderman. Thank you, Chairman. And Mrs. Levine.
May I add one comment?
Sure.
To answer a question?
I guarantee that.
Alderman Carlozzi had asked about what positions are included.
Thank you.
Under the definitions of the merit rules, it says permanent position means an established position in the classified service in which the duties are of such nature that can be reasonably assumed that the position will continue indefinitely. So all positions referring to this are in the classified service, so it does not relate to the mayor's staff, position. The registrar's staff,
okay.
And the others.
Then, Mr. Chairman, if I may, sure. Mr. Chairman, to our personnel director, if you could also put in B, maybe you want to put in their classified positions, okay. So that there's no problem. It's clear what we're referring to down the road. I just look to avoid conflicts down the road.
Well, I may. The problem is that the rules apply to classified and unclassified.
Okay.
So if you're just going to say classified,
well, they okay.
Maybe change the permanent.
I think that's what they were trying to clarify.
Change the word to permanent, Mary. Would that work?
Permanent. Yeah. I mean, it's not appointed because appointed is a whole set of.
Correct. Okay. Fine.
Okay.
Everyone knows what my intentions are, so
yes.
Thank you.
Okay. At this point, the motion is to pass to the council with a favorable recommendation 33538 as it is written. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you. Time now is 8:19. Meeting is adjourned.